Seven Habits of Jesus, and from our last song, our next habit is inviting, carrying the light out to others. And the scripture we're looking at is one of the more familiar ones from the end of the Gospel of Matthew. It's on page 706 of your Pew Bibles, or if you have your own, or if you have an app for one, you can look up Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Like I said, the sixth habit in our series is to invite others to be baptized and to become disciples of Christ. One of the great modern-day parables is that of the lighthouse station. And the parable begins that once there were a group of volunteers who saw their mission to rescue people whose ships crashed against the rocks near the lighthouse. And whenever a ship would crash, the call would go out. They would go out into the sea, rescue the people, bring them into safety and shelter, and get them back on their feet. Well, after the years passed, they built a nice little shelter that they could come and bring the people in. And as times went on, they kept making it nicer and bigger. And in fact, they instead of just coming together when there were shipwrecks, they decided, well, they would just get together and meet on a regular basis. And they made it into a really nice shelter. And finally, they decided, well, you know, we really don't like going out into that cold water and rescuing those people. You know, we're enough people together. We'll pay for somebody else to go do that for us. And so they hired a crew to go out and rescue the others. And then when that crew would come in and bring them into their nice shelter that they had made so nice and enjoyed for fellowship, there were those members that didn't like those dirty, cold people coming into their nice shelter that they had decorated. And finally, there was a vote one day whether or not they should even allow these people to come into their shelter. And the story goes, finally, some of them then broke apart and began doing the rescue again, and then the process started over again. That parable of the lighthouse challenges us. Do we get so comfortable with our fellowship, with being a church together, that we forget what our mission was from the very beginning? Which is to go out and find those who were lost, to rescue them, to bring to them the good news of Jesus Christ and his love. Well, there are two basic elements that we need if we're going to be successful in this sixth habit of inviting others, and that's knowing God's story and knowing our story. You know, on Mother's Day, I think so many of us, it's the first place we heard and learned God's story for many of us was from our mothers. And some of the kids, you know, do your mother, do they read you Bible stories? Do they pray with you? You know, so often that's where God's story initially is told, often at our mother's knee, you know. And how wonderful when we fulfill that obligation. And how wonderful it is when, as mothers, the story is told. But each of us needs to know God's story, because you can't invite others to come in, to be baptized, to be a part of God's family, if you can't share the story yourself of what it is that you're inviting people to. And so one of the goals, and in fact one of the habits in the book, is every Christian should make it a habit of periodically telling the story in your own family. Because if you can't tell it to your family, if you can't tell it among those you're most comfortable with, you're certainly not going to tell it to a stranger or to even a friend outside of your family. So part of that is, have you ever around the dinner table, or have you ever with your family even said, this is my understanding of the story? You know, we all know, as Neil so eloquently put it there, while he died on the cross to forgive us our sins so that we might get into heaven. That's a pretty elemental, but that's the basic story, isn't it? You know, our belief that there is more to life than just life here and then dying. But you know, so much of the people in our society believe that's all there is. That we have life now and there's nothing more than that. And they need to hear a story that there is more to life than just the short span we live in on this earth. That God has created us to live for an eternity with Him. And part of that story is we're all sinners who need the love and forgiveness of God. And the wonderful news of the gospel is that that's exactly what God offers to us. He doesn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And He comes that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And so we talked about sacrifices that mothers give, and that's wonderful, and our sacrifices of getting up at night to when kids are sick, or in the first service we had a little picture of a parent teaching their child how to drive. Now that's a sacrifice, I can attest to. It's a struggle to teach your kids to drive. We probably came to harsher words during that time than at any other time with my family. No, don't do that. But sacrifices we make. But do we articulate, do we share the sacrifice of Christ, giving His very life for us? So whatever sacrifice we may make as parents or friends, God made the ultimate sacrifice to lay down His life for us. And as Jesus says, to lay down His life for friends. You know, He doesn't say you're a bunch of terrible sinners. He doesn't say you're just servants. He says, I lay down my life for my friends because I love each and every person. That's God's story, and we need to be able to tell God's story, that He came into the world to save everybody, that God's desire is that all would be saved, that all would know His love. And so we need to have, and not only to know it, but the challenge in the book and the challenge that I would have is, have you ever sat down and even shared that story in your family? And say, what does that mean within your family? But the other side is, it's not enough just to know the objective story of Jesus, but we need to have a subjective. What is my story? How have I come to know God's love in my own life? And so I've asked Chris, where did Chris go off to? There we go. Rather than me do the my story, have Chris share with you his story and a way that we need to know our own story to share. So Chris, if you will.
Red mic. Well, my story starts 49 years ago when I was a 10-year-old child. And my parents, first you got to know that I was raised in a good family, and we always went to church, and I was taught well, and what to, you know, what the good things are, good ethics in life and everything, and we went to church every week. And I knew who Jesus was. I knew who God was. But my story starts when I was a 10-year-old, and my parents are gone for the weekend, leaving us kids home alone with a babysitter for the weekend. And we were allowed to still go out and play. It was back in the 60s. Those were good times. So we went out and played, and went. And I was a stamp collector back then. So a friend of mine collected stamps too, and we went to the store, and we were looking at some of the stamps. And I saw him stuck some stamps in his shirt. And he talked me into doing it too. So I stuck some stamps in my shirt. And he ran out the door, and I got caught. And the manager put the fear of Jesus in my heart. He wanted me to get my dad home over there, and I had to tell him my dad wasn't home. So he let me know that you better bring your dad in when he comes home, or the police are going to hear about this, and He put the fear of Jesus in my heart. Well, I went home that day, and I was hurt. I was a heavy burden on my back. Well, we had to go to church the next day. This was Saturday. We still went to church as we were told to. We, all four of us kids, got on our bikes, and we rode to church. We were there alone. And after the service, after the first service, when everyone was out of the church, I went to the altar that day. I kneeled down, and it was like I had a burden on my back, like a backpack filled with rocks of shame, guilt, remorse, fear, you name it. It was on my back, and it was heavy. And I went to that altar when I was all alone, and I asked Jesus for forgiveness. And immediately, it felt like someone was behind me and lifted that burden off. And I didn't feel it anymore. I knew Jesus was now real. He wasn't just a story. He wasn't just a person 2,000 years ago that died on a cross. He was the real Christ that rose again and is part of this world right now in a real being. He lifted that burden off my back. I wasn't a foolish kid. I added an addendum to that prayer also, and I said, please put it in my dad's heart to not beat the crap out of me when I have to tell him. And he did. And he did. From that day on, my life was changed. The church was a second home to me. It was my comfort zone. I was a different kid. I was always a good kid, but I was a different kid now. Now I was, knew Jesus, and I accepted him as my Savior that day. And the church was my comfort zone. So for the rest of my life, the church is where I love to be. I went to Crucio about 14 years ago, and people were asking before then, how can you tell me that God is real? Does God really answer prayer? Well, Casillo changed my life that day. He gave me the strength to say a simple prayer after that weekend. And the prayer was something simple that I went home and I said, God, I'm ready to get out of my comfort zone and serve you. So I've done things in the church all the time, but that's my comfort zone. Doing it in the church was somewhat easy for me. But I said, God, I am ready to get out of my comfort zone. You lead me where you want me to go. Now, you notice I put the onus on him. I told God, you lead me where you want me to go. You tell me what you want me to do. I knew what I thought I wanted to do. But God, he knew what he wanted me to do. And that was Saturday night, and Sunday morning, came to church. Pastor Ken was our pastor at the time, and he was talking with Lenny and Roy Robbins, and I needed to ask Pastor Ken a question at the time. I forget what it was, but it didn't really matter. He was talking to Lenny and Roy about all the services this church does. It does them all. We are a great service church. But the one thing we didn't do was go into the prisons and visit the prisoners. And he brought that up. And as soon as he brought that up, I felt my heart go, like someone squeezed it. Didn't think much of it. I knew he was talking to Lenny and Roy at the time. But for the next couple years, I kept that prayer in my heart. I said, God, you tell me where you want me to go. I'm ready to get out of my comfort zone. Now, I was involved with Crucio quite a bit that time, and I went to many Altreas, I went to many Closuras, worked many weekends, and every time they talked about the prison or prison ministry, I felt my heart being squeezed. I didn't listen, because that's not where I wanted to go. In fact, that was the last place I wanted to go. So I just didn't listen. After a year, I knew he was talking to me, but it still took a couple more years before I finally answered the prayer and said I would. It was, I remember it Well, Sunday morning, I woke up, I turned on the TV to one of those televangelists, Osteen, Schuller, I don't remember which one. But he just happened to be talking about Matthew 25. You remember, when did I do this to you, Lord? When you clothed the naked, when you were with the poor, when you visited the hospitals, and when you visited prison. And when he said that, my heart just went, and he brought me to my knees. I said, okay, Lord, I give in. That's where I'll go. And I did. I searched out how to get into the prison ministry, and I did get into it. And what happened that first weekend of my life was another story. But to tell you, God does answer prayer. God is real. God is here in our lives. Not a figment of our imagination that he's an ethereal being up there. He's down here, and he answers your prayer in a way that you will understand, as long as you listen. I wasn't listening for a couple years, but I did finally listen. So Jesus is real. God is real. The Holy Spirit. Well, that's the easiest of the three. Come with me some weekend into the prison, and I will show you the Holy Spirit at work. Those 3 days, that Holy Spirit is so visible that you will all know that the Holy Spirit is real also. As he changes the hearts of men whose hope is lost, who didn't think anyone could still love them, and put a smile on their face, and have these guys sing it at the top of their lungs, praises to our Lord. He not only changes them, he changes us, those of us who work the weekends. So in my life, I can tell you, Jesus is real. He lives today, just as you and I live in this world. Jesus lives here. I can tell you that God answers prayer, and he talks to you in a way that you will understand, plain and clear. All you got to do is listen. And the Holy Spirit, it's the one that gives you the strength to do everything that God has asked you to do. Now, there's much more to the story that I've told before, that Pastor heard, and that's why he wanted this one told. But that's for another time and another place, what happened to me in prison. So thank you, God, and thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. That's the difference between God's story and my story. And we need to be able to tell my story, because that's the real powerful story that will reach out to other people. And, you know, hearing Chris talk, that was, you know, I had the call in the ministry, and I had two things that I always told God: don't send me to Africa and don't send me to prison. I have since been to Africa and to prison. You know, God does those things to you. And with Chris was the one, you know, and his witness, his invitation got me there. And there are powerful stories we could go on and share about being in a prison and bringing that message to the people there. But the key is, share your story. What is your story? And that would be your homework assignment, if you will. Share your story within your family this day. You know, what is it that you have heard or seen from God? Because that's the power of the invitation. So once we get God's story and our story, then to realize who are the people out there we need to share it with. And there's some interesting statistics. Barnum, which is a Christian organization that does a lot of surveys, one of the things they have said is only 10% of the unbaptized, the unchurched, are anti-Christian, anti-church. That most of the people out there are not anti being invited. And in fact, the other thing they found out is only 10% of the unbaptized have ever been invited by a friend to be baptized or to follow Christ. that most of the people out there have never been invited. Come, know Christ. Come, follow him. Come, be baptized. And that over 80% in their survey of people who were surveyed said that they would be likely to discuss being baptized if requested by a good friend. I think that may shock you because so many of our attitudes about Jehovah Witnesses, about the strong arm, but the key is inviting people is inviting friends. You're not asked to go knock on some stranger's door. You're not asked, you know, to be handing out tracts to people you don't know. But the real power of what they have found out is that if you'll offer an invitation to a friend, 80% of those people will at least be open to that invitation. And so the key is to know God's story, to be able to articulate how have I seen God in my life, why do I happen to believe that it's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago, where have I seen God in my life now, and then to say, who is that friend, that person that I can share that invitation to? And because we all know those invitations to strangers, those people that accost you on the street that you don't have a relationship with, it doesn't matter what they're going to say. We don't want that. But what God is calling us to do is, one, start in our families. Like those mothers that shared that story, share the story in your family, because you can't share the story with a stranger until you share it with those you know. So what is your story? Know it, be able to articulate it. And then when we do that, then think of, is there just one friend? Because the church would double if just one friend for each member received that invitation. And the studies show 80% would be open to that invitation if you just did it with that one person. So my encouragement and the habit of inviting doesn't mean you have to have the habit that keeps on going and inviting every person you see. No, that's not the habit. The habit is know your story. Tell your story. Be comfortable with your story. And then, who is that one person, that other friend that you can invite? And you would be surprised what percentage of those people are open if you just ask. But 80% of those have, or only 10% have ever been asked. 90% have never had the invitation. And so, like that lighthouse station, it's a parable that's too true. Sometimes we're so into our own fellowship and our own group that we forget we have a mission. And the mission is know the story and share the story. May God bless you, that you may know his story, that it may be alive in your heart, and that you'll be open to where he leads you to share it with those you are closest to. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for Chris and his story today. Thank you for all those people in our lives, not only our mothers, but fathers and teachers and pastors and friends who have shared your story with us, that we may know you are that God that lifts the burdens, that despite whatever shortcomings we have and continue to have, you are the one who loves and forgives. That's the core of the gospel. And thank you that we've been able to experience that in the world. And now we pray, Lord, fill each person here with your Spirit. Help them develop the habit of, within their families, amongst their closest friends, of sharing your story, and then looking for those that they might invite, that your love might be known to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.